Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Ruthanna Martefio, and this is Gather Round. It's a bit chilly in Illinois tonight, so cozy up the fireplace with me. Today has been Palestinian Prisoners Day, and I'm sure that Raymond Blaine on Palestine will have some more to say about that. Then Omo Abeyu gives us more info on Africa. Then we're off to the secrets of the dungeons and suburban bedrooms as Lady Justice, Ron, and Casey take us into the world of kink, BDSM. You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. And now we just go right to Raymond Blaine.
Hello, how are you all?
Hey.
So, this is Raymond Blaine on Palestine. How is everybody?
I think everybody is great. You're going to tell us about Palestinian Prisoners Day, right? And other things today?
Yeah. Today is about marks Palestinian Prisoners Day. This is every day on April 17th. They express the continuing struggle to liberate detainees in occupation jails. It's a day of freedom, a day of refusing injustice, chains, and the dominance of occupiers over their life and dignity. Prisoners Day marks the release of Mahmoud Baker, the first Palestinian prisoner held by Israel after 1967, on April 17, 1974, in a swap deal. According to the statistics published by the Director of Statistics Department at the Ministry of Detainees and Ex-Detainees and former prisoner Abdel Nassar Frana writes, 4,750 Palestinians are detained in Israeli jails, including children, women, sick, handicapped, elders, MPs, and former ministers. They are held under very tough conditions, where they're deprived of their basic rights and they're exposed to various forms of torture, treated inhumanely, all of which constitutes a grave violation of international and conventional norms. Number two, the majority, 83.5%, are residents of the West Bank, 9.2% are residents of Gaza Strip. The rest are from 1948 Palestine and Jerusalem. They're scattered into 17 jails and detention centers, most importantly Negev, Nafta, Ramon, Jablu, Shatta, Ofer, Ascalon, Hadarim, Michelle, Ali Kadar, Hasharon, Romla, and Megiddo prisons. Number three, 14 Palestinian MPs, two former ministers, dozens of teachers, journalists, political leaders, and academics have been arrested. 168 Palestinians are held under administrative detention orders without charge. 14 female prisoners are held in Israeli jails. The oldest is Lina Ajuboni from 1948 Lyons, who has been detained since 2002 and sentenced to 17 years. A number of children prisoners hit 235. 35 of them are under the age of 16 years old, and children's arrests have escalated recently. And I'll read another story about that here shortly. 533 prisoners are sentenced to life once or several times. 1,200 prisoners are sick, and they suffer various diseases. 170 of them need urgent surgeries. 85 of them suffer from various disabilities, physical, psychological, mental, and sensory. And 25 prisoners have cancer. One of them just passed away on April 2nd, 2013, of throat cancer. The remaining prisoners live under the constant fear of dying. This increases their suffering, and their health is jeopardized due to the medical negligence of their captors. To date, the number of elderly prisoners who were arrested before the signing of the Oslo Accords in 1994 is 105. Every one of them has a story to tell. 77 of them have been in prison for more than 20 years. The 25 prisoners are called deans of prisoners or general patients. This is a term Palestinians use to describe those who spent more than a quarter century in Israeli jails. Karim Yunus from the 1947 Lands town of Arara is considered a deemed prisoners. He spent more than 30 years in Israeli jail so far. The number of martyrs of prisoners movement hit 204 after the killing of Arafat Jaradat, which I read a story about him a couple weeks ago, who was tortured in Israeli jails, and the death of Masara Abi Hamdia as a result of medical negligence. Since 1967, 71 Palestinian prisoners died because of torture, while 52 others died of medical negligence. 74 prisoners were intentionally killed directly after the arrest, and 7 prisoners were killed by Israeli bullets inside the Israeli jails. Israeli prison service implements a policy which violates the rights of prisoners, including arrest during night raids, medical negligence, banning family visits, solitary confinement, and administrative detention, ignoring all international conventions and human rights. So that's what's going on in the jails and what's going on there. The story I'm going to read tonight is about an actual American, 14-year-old kid named Mohammed Khalik. The story reads, on April 11th, in one of the trailer caravans that housed the Israel military courtrooms, the Ofra prison, 3 boys sat in a brown Israeli prison service Shabbat uniform, their feet shackled, their eyes darting between the judge, their lawyers, and their families. The youngest was 14-year-old Mohammed Khalik, a short, skinny boy with light brown birthmark under his right eye and heart murmured since birth. Mohammed was arrested from his home in the village of Sawad near Ramallah in a 2 a.m. raid on Friday, April 5th. 8 heavily armed soldiers burst into the modest home, waking the Khalik family, the 2 parents and 6 children, the youngest just 6 years old, gathered in the one room. Soldiers thought they had come to arrest me, Mohammed's father, 46, Abdul told Al Jazeera. Okay. Is this better?
It's a little better.
Okay, let me see if I just sit back. When they saw Mohammed was just a kid that felt embarrassed, but they still took him away. Mohammed was born in New Orleans. Okay, you're breaking up on me now, too. Let me see here if I can move. Sorry, guys. Okay, is that better?
That's better.
Okay. So, anyway, Mohammed was born in New Orleans and holds U.S. citizenship, was reportedly beaten up inside the Israeli military jeep, taken to an Israeli settlement named Ofra, where he says he spent 12 hours blindfolded, handcuffed, and shackled at the legs. Israeli soldiers would roughly move him from one area to the next, and in one instance, he says, he was pushed so hard he fell on a rock and broke his dental braces. At 2 p.m., he was taken to Binyamin Police Detention Center, where he was interrogated for a further 24 hours without a presence of a lawyer or his parents. By that time, Abdul had arrived at the detention center and was demanding to see his son. Mohammed heard his father's voice and told Al Jazeera that Israeli interrogators tricked him into confessing to throwing rocks in exchange for being able to see his father. Mohammed says he confessed, but he was not allowed to see his father. Israeli military spokesman said no abuse complaints had been filed at the time of his detention, according to the Associated Press News Agency. Legal aid. It wasn't until 2 days later that a lawyer had access to Mohammed, who was moved to Ofra prison in Batunia, northwest of Ramallah. 4 days after his arrest, a representative from the United States consulate saw Mohammed. The U.S. official later called Mohammed's father. "There's not much we can do," the father was told. "What do you expect from the U.S. government?" asked Abdel, who moved to the occupied Palestinian territories in 1999. "They're obligated to do something for a U.S.-born child with American citizenship, but they won't." The U.S. State Department confirmed the arrest of the U.S. citizen by Israeli authorities in the West Bank. "We expect any government that arrests a U.S. citizen to ensure the U.S. citizen is treated fairly," read a statement issued the day before Mohammed's first hearing. "A role in an arrest case generally includes monitoring cases with a view to whether U.S. citizens are treated properly, ensuring they have access to a list of attorneys and facilitating communication between family and friends." Arresting children. Mohammed Khalik, an honor student in the 9th grade, is one of 236 Palestinian children in Israeli jails, according to UNICEF. Having a foreign passport, in addition to his Palestinian identity papers, did not grant Mohammed any special treatment, and he is set to be tried in a military court that does not fully differentiate between children and adults. An estimated 700 children are arrested by Israel every year, according to a recent report released by UNICEF, where many suffer beatings, verbal abuse, psychological intimidation, sleep deprivation. And since the year 2000, more than 8,000 children have been arrested, with the Israeli military court conviction rate standing at 99.74%. It's ridiculous. Wow. 100%?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. Yeah. The most common reason for arresting Palestinian children is for throwing rocks, yet Defense for Children International lists those purposes, such as to recruit future collaborators and informers for the Israeli government, to obtain information that could incriminate others, to threaten and intimidate those who actively resist the Israeli occupation, and to use children as bargaining chips to pressure communities or politicians. Under Israeli military orders, a military juvenile court was established. This followed international criticism of Israel for children as young as 12 being tried in adult courts for the previous 40 years. changes are largely cosmetic, say analysts, as children are still tried in military courts and are subjected to 4 days incarceration without seeing a military judge. They can be held for up to 60 days in detention without charge and up to 90 days without seeing a lawyer. I think Israelis, they can only be held 15 days, and I think 60 days as long as they can be held without seeing a lawyer.
Right, and instead of that 4 days, I think they only have 24 hours or something for. I mean, it's totally not equal.
No, they have to charge them with something if you're an Israeli citizen and a Jew, but if you're a Palestinian or anything else for that matter, then you're pretty much screwed. Okay, so under the military order 1651, children aged 14, 15 years old are classified as young adults and therefore minors, explained one of the advocacy officers with Adamir, a prisoner rights organization. They can serve a maximum sentence of 12 months in prison unless the offense carries a maximum penalty of 5 years or more. So in the case of Muhammad, who is charged with throwing stones in a moving vehicle, the maximum penalty is 20 years. So theoretically, he can be sentenced to the maximum penalty of 20 years for throwing rocks. He's 14. I mean, I don't even think he did throw rocks. I think he just got rounded up. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, they just round him up. It's part of the whole terror act.
Right.
You know, just people fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for us, and this is even crazier to you, for us, Sabah Muhammad's lawyer said the 14-year-old is being charged with throwing rocks between September 2012 until April 2nd, 2013. That's a long time. It's impossible to release him on bail, Sabah says. The best case is to cut a deal. The problem is that Muhammad himself confessed to throwing rocks 5 times a week at yellow-licensed Israeli cars on Route 60 and on April 2nd in Israeli military jeeps as they entered Sowat. His father said that that is not possible. There's no way he threw rocks that frequently. Either I or his mother pick him up after school and take him home. Throwing rocks will not do anything against the Israeli occupation except burying the kid 6 feet under. Resisting, in my opinion, should be through knowledge in college. Mohammed's case, first adjourned to Sunday, April 14th, was again deferred to Wednesday, April 17th, as the Israeli prosecutor requested an extension to examine the boy's case further. As Muhammad got up to leave, he flashed a small smile in the direction of his father and advised him to organize his time while in prison, to keep reading, to stay away from inmates who smoke, for that might aggravate his heart murmur, and also not to take any medication or anything from the Israeli authorities and not trust them. And now, I guess today he went to court, but I don't have any new stories.
I think you're breaking up again on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you there?
That's better.
Okay, we'll try this. Okay, so this is from Aruba Ayub Othman. It's actually a family member of a girl that I talk to a lot named Ishraq Othman, Aru Othman. And this story...
the connection, there's something wrong. It's really breaking.
All right, I think you're breaking up pretty bad on my end, too.
It's what?
I have full... everything. I don't know why it's not working. Okay, so I guess I'll just keep going. This one basically is a story about plastic stomachs fights the battle of empty stories. His body is fraught with countless bullets. His heart beats the sound of an alarm for his condition, and his plastic stomach starves for the sake of Palestinian dignity.
We can only catch about every fifth word.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this any better. I might have to call you back or we can try this again. Okay, I will call you. I'll try another connection. I'll call you right back.
Now what? Okay. I think he's going to try to call back. In the meantime... maybe I've been driving and don't know it.
Kim?